Will the young people come and join me this morning?
Chinese missionary, and I've probably shared it before, but I can't get the story out of my head. There was the Chinese convert, and the American missionary was there, and he said, the honorable father is very good, and the honorable son is also very good, but the honorable bird, I don't understand. And that was what he thought the Holy Spirit was, the honorable bird. I think if we took a poll of our church family this morning, we would all pass a test on what makes up the Trinity. But I think our responses about the Holy Spirit would be kind of like that Chinese Christian's response. We are reasonably settled in our knowledge of God the Father. And as creator, you know, we understand that. We have a handle on Jesus as the mediator of the covenant and of Savior, the biggest confirmation lesson that we, you know, beat in kids for 2 years. But mainline Christianity has big problems with the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. You know, we can't claim ignorance. Just like the new believers in Samaria, who we read in today's epistle, or historical lesson from Acts, they just weren't aware of the Holy Spirit. We cannot claim ignorance on the Holy Spirit. We understand that there is the Holy Spirit. We know there is the Holy Spirit. But for many of us, past that, our understanding is a little bit fuzzy. Or maybe, for some of us, discussions about the Holy Spirit bring up funny pictures of churches who, in our family, when I was growing up, they were referred to as the Holy Rollers. You know who they are. I've been told that in the adult Sunday school class here at Christ that there have been some lively conversations concerning Holy Spirit things. And I am here to tell you, you know what, the Holy Spirit can do whatever it is that he wants to do. As long as it's scriptural, we know that it's him. We need to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Scripture makes sure that we are well supplied with information so that we don't have to wonder. We can know exactly who the Holy Spirit is and what his purpose is in our lives as committed Christians. Now, before you start thinking about what you're going to do with the rest of your day after you leave worship this morning, I want to assure you of several things. First of all, we probably will not be rolling in the aisles today. We probably won't. I am confident, quite honestly, that no one is going to be swinging from any of the lights this morning, and no one probably is going to be dancing around in the sanctuary today. And if Bob Dunn leaps up from his pew and starts praying in tongues, no one will be more surprised than I. So put all of your judgments aside and your preconceived notions, and let's talk a little bit of truth about the Holy Spirit this morning. Approach the subject from a solid Christian perspective and see if God might know something about the Holy Spirit that you don't. Well, the first thing that we have to remember about the Holy Spirit is that throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is the same as God. Except that just like the Son is distinct from the Creator, the Spirit is distinct from the both of them. Now, this is kind of complicated, so I want to say it in another way. When we are dealing with the Holy Spirit, we are not dealing with a different kind of Christianity. It is not us and those crazy charismatics. That's not the way it works. We are one and the same. If we choose to ignore the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we are really spitting in God's eye. When we actively seek the Holy Spirit, we are seeking God. The God that we already know and the God that we already trust. The very same God that is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing about the Holy Spirit that we have to remember is that the Holy Spirit, while not being a different God, is something more that we can know, something deeper, something distinct. The Spirit, for blood-bought believers, is another step with God, a deeper experience. Now, the lectionary scripture reading for this morning says two things about the Samaritans who Peter and John were sent to. First is that they had accepted the word of God. And second is that as of yet, the Holy Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, think about that for a minute. Those Samaritans were Christians. They had become Christians. That's clear. They believed the gospel. And they had been baptized in Jesus' name as believers, which was the only way it's done in the Bible. They were already believers. They had been believer baptized. But they were Christians who lacked something, something that Peter and John came to bring them. The passage says that Peter and John laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, it was evident, it's evident from that passage that there was a before and there was an after. Now, it has been my experience that it is not very hard at all to tell if a Christian has received the Holy Spirit. It's not that they're loud and showy. In fact, just the opposite. It's not that somehow I heard them speaking in tongues, which is just one of the many, many gifts that are available to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit gives people a quiet inner assurance that they didn't have in their lives before, even their lives as Christians. The Holy Spirit always brings a conviction about what we believe and why we believe it. The Holy Spirit brings calmness in the midst of life's storms. A Christian who is filled with anxiety is not a Holy Spirit-filled Christian. A Christian who always wants to be in charge and have their own way is not a Holy Spirit-filled Christian. A Christian who always is looking out for number one is not a Spirit-filled Christian. A Christian who feels no compelling need to serve or give is not a Spirit-filled Christian. Christian who believes their faith is relative is not a Spirit-filled Christian. If you have a Christian brother or sister who's scary in some way, you know what I mean. Don't cross them. We all have those in our lives, don't we? That's not a Spirit-filled Christian. You know, we can look, and Scripture tells us in Galatians that there are certain things that we will see. And that's the fruit. I'm talking about gifts, but I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you about the fruit of the Spirit, because Susan's studying this right now out at Blue Mountain Christian Retreat, and I think the guys talked about it yesterday at men's prayer breakfast. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're a Spirit-filled Christian, you know, these things are going to show up in your life if you're a Spirit-filled Christian. You know, the unfortunate thing about it is, you know what? Churches are full of people who, by ignoring the Holy Spirit, are ignoring God at best. And at worst, they're calling God a liar, because if we ignore the Holy Spirit, we're saying, sure, Father, I accept, the Son, I accept, but you know what? I don't need the Holy Spirit. And even though, Lord, you tell me that I need the Holy Spirit, I have decided that I don't. So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the danger in that kind of approach to our faith. Scripture tells us several things about the Holy Spirit. First, we know from reading Acts 13 that the Holy Spirit is an actual person. And we can think of him in those terms. Do you think of the Holy Bird in those terms? An actual person? We can also read in Scripture, primarily in John 14, that God sent him for specific reasons. He's to comfort us and counsel us. He is to teach us, and he is to make us strong. And he is to give us particular gifts to further the kingdom. I can tell you that in my own personal walk with God, there was a vast difference in my Christian walk from the day I committed my life to the Lord and when I received the filling of the Holy Spirit. The years of being wishy-washy for Christ for me were over. My inner conviction has never been shaky since then. And now today I can tell you, I have good days and I have bad days from a worldly perspective. But since the Holy Spirit has been a complete part of my life, my bad days don't seem to be nearly as bad as other people's bad days. And even my bad days are certainly not as bad as my old bad days used to be before he took control. Deep inside, there is an otherworldly peace that I would not trade for anything. Now, I know that many of us in this sanctuary this morning are like Samaritans. We're like the Samaritans in the epistle today. You're believers in the Lord. You're really trying to follow him the best you know how, and some days you do a pretty good job, but then there are other days. Well, you know, God just doesn't seem as close on those days. There are even times when he doesn't seem real. And sometimes you're spiritually up, and sometimes you're spiritually down. And And because that's the way it's been for you for such a long time, you may have even rationalized your situation to the point of saying, well, I guess that's just how it's supposed to be as long as I'm here on this earth. Well, if you know what I'm talking about, and if that's how it is for some of you, I want to challenge you to try something new, something different. You don't have to settle for a partial, wishy-washy belief in the Lord. Your faith does not have to be a lifelong roller coaster ride. You can have solid, unshakable, powerful faith, and you can live in it every day. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is with you, and you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has something for you. Now, just as you make the conscious decision to ask Christ into your life, you make the conscious decision to ask the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. Now, you do know that when you came to the Lord, when we all come to the Lord, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We know that because the Holy Spirit is not separate from God. He is not separate from God the Father or Jesus the Son. So we have received some of the Holy Spirit. We get Him when we get saved. But to receive the full extent of what it is that He has to give us, to receive those gifts, plural, we have to ask for that. We have to want that. Because God never goes where He is not welcome. And make no mistake, every believer, God has gifts for every believer, unique to that believer, to use for His kingdom and to further the kingdom on this earth. There are so many. It's another sermon's worth, another couple of sermons, oh my goodness, you know, prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving generously. Who would have thought that was a gift? Showing mercy, leading, healing, speaking in other tongues. My goodness, that's one of them, although it's the one that we keep stumbling over. 1 Corinthians 14 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Says especially the gift of prophecy. I bet hardly any of us prayed for that. We must make the conscious decision to seek the Spirit's presence in our lives, just like we did when we sought Jesus. Do it. Just do it. Take another step with God, and you can do it this morning. It's no big show. Learn what it means to be Spirit-filled, and then ask God just give you a new experience of His own self and to raise you up above the muck and the mire of this world and set your feet on lofty places. Ask God to make the Holy Spirit real in your life and see what happens. You might be surprised, but you will for sure be blessed. And so will we. God wants to give every believer gifts of His Holy Spirit to use for His glory. Maybe it's time you thought about what yours are. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we don't give much thought to these things. We thank You that in a lectionary reading for today, that You have forced us to grapple with some of these things. Father, You are so wonderful to us, and we get Jesus. We thank You for our salvation that comes through His blood. And Lord, we look forward to heaven, the way that has been bought for us by His blood. But Lord, living on this earth, there are times when we thought we were by ourselves. And we pray that You would remind us that that's what You sent the Holy Spirit for. Come now, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of Your faithful. We give You permission. We seek Your presence in our lives, and we give You control, Holy Spirit. Amen.